If I was ever in like some like, you know, action movie or horror movie, I'd be murdering somebody or like blowing up like, you know, like the government facility to that song. Walking away with the flames behind me and everything.
Yeah. Play a Total Eclipse for the Heart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why not?
I can't wish you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Optional Opinion here on the Anomalous Radio Network. I'm your host, Eddie V. Thank you guys for joining me. I have a great, great, awesome, inspirational, just amazing all-around guy. Today, I have Jonathan Egbert joining me on the show. And we're going
There's
to
be... no B in my name.
I thought it was.
No.
Is it Egert?
Egert.
I thought it was...
Egert.
Oh, I thought it was with a B.
No, that's what the G's are for. Sorry.
That's okay.
Carry on with your intro. I'm sorry.
Jonathan Egert. We had a good conversation, so that's why we're laughing and stuff like that. Total Eclipse from the Heart. Goodness. What year did that song come out?
Oh, shit, like 85, 86?
I was 5 or 6 years old when that song came out.
I wasn't even born yet, I don't think.
You...
Shut up.
This is sorry for the side talk. Today, on our discussion, we're going to be talking about Fallout. We were talking to each other on Facebook, and Jonathan brought up Fallout 4, and I have some opinions about it, but I was interested in knowing about the Fallout series, and since Jonathan is, I want to say, an expert at the time, 1983, I was 3 years old when that song came out, but I think I didn't hear it until when I was about 5 or 6.
I won't judge you, it's fine.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, yeah, I have Jonathan here on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about Fallout, you know, his personal history with the series. So it's going to be learning to me. But before we get into that, Jonathan, give us some of your gaming history. Like, when did you start gaming, and, like, when did you...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Mid-80s, I should say. My grandparents had a ColecoVision. My first true game was a Tank Commander. I loved blowing up triangles. I'm horrible at Duck Hunt. First RPG was Super Mario RPG, which I'm actually replaying on my phone right now through an emulator, because why not?
Which I still have not beaten that game.
That was my first RPG. That threw me into RPGs.
Because of the, and we might have to have a discussion about this, The Legend of Zelda was my first RPG.
See, I don't count the old school Zeldas as like RPGs.
I do.
To me, they're like playing like Metroid, like Super Metroid. You remember that for like Super NES?
Yes.
Like, that was an amazing game.
And can I tell you, this Friday, me and my friends will be talking about Super Metroid. I have a book club that I'm in. And we're doing a discussion, and we'll be talking about Super Metroid.
I got Samus in her bathing suit, all right?
I did, too.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. You need some Metroid commentary. I got you on that one. Trust me.
Well, the thing about it is that the people that I'm talking to, this is their first time playing Super Metroid. I beat it in 1994.
I was in grammar school, yeah.
I was at my grandma, and I talked about this. I was in my grandma's house. My cousin had it, and for the next 3 days, visiting grandma was nothing but Super Metroid. So.
I don't blame you. No, I mean, like, I used to play that like before school and all day after school. But like seriously, I get up like 6 a.m, an hour early before I had to wake up, just so I could get in like an hour or two playing, you know, trying to beat like Ridley or whatever. Like, just before I had to go, you know, like, oh, I got one extra, like, you know, energy container. Yes! All right, now I'm ready to start third grade. Let's go. Day's good.
Yeah, so we ended up replaying it for our book club for July. So we're having a discussion at,
Man, is there a Metroid book?
Yeah, my cousin had Super Metroid the Guide. Yeah, the guidebook.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
Right, and
I thought you meant like a novel.
Well, no, because, well, it was. Nintendo Power used to do a Metroid comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they never put it into, like, graphic novel form.
That would make so much money. Why wouldn't they do that?
I really... They got the graphic novel for The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, we found our niche. Let's learn how to draw. We got this.
Well, speaking of drawing, this amazing artist, Mr. Jonathan Eggert, is just amazing art. But continue with your gaming history, because we got it on topic.
Hey, you know, all through the centuries, or decades, I should say, not centuries, I'm not that old yet. But, yeah, just RPGs, Halo, a lot of Halo. I've actually read a bunch of the novels, played through all the games thus far, done a lot of the graphic novel series, just really into the lore of that. Nowadays, because my lady took my Xbox One, I'm down to a gold Nintendo 64 at the moment. So I'm rocking Mario Kart and Diddy Kong 2 and stuff. Bubble Blast, you know, well, that's NES, old school style. Yeah, and just everything, basically.
You're not doing Bubble Babes?
I don't know what Bubble Babes are, no.
Oh, you didn't know that? That was one of the sexy games.
No, I don't play sexy games.
Well, I think it was in Japan, because I think it came here, and it's just like, it was kind of like Tetris, and you had to break the bubbles off the women, and when you got them all, in Japan, they were naked, but I think in America, they had like a bathing suit on.
The last bubble game I played was Bubble Blast for Nintendo with my friend Sammy, seriously, like just like a week or two ago. We played for several hours straight. Played from beginning to end and beat the game, which took forever. Like 5 hours of it was playing the last boss.
Wow.
Yeah. It was worth it, though, because we got the bad ending, apparently. And for what reason, we don't know, because we Googled it and we did everything right. But apparently we just suck at the game. They're like, nope, bad ending. And that's all it says is bad ending.
Wow.
Yeah, no animation, nothing like, oh, try again, just bad ending. That's all it says. Yeah.
And you played the Fallout games. You played it on PC, right?
Yes. One and two on PC. I played 3 in New Vegas on 360.
And sometime in the future, you'll be playing
Fallout 4. I will be playing for, in like 2 months, because I'm going to murder somebody and get a new Xbox. And I'm going to be getting Fallout Vaults on my phone, supposedly on the 14th of this coming month.
Then that was the one they showed at E3. The Android one.
Yeah, well, they released it for Apple, but not Android, because they're jerks.
Well, yeah. Fallout, anything else in your gaming history that we may ramble on? I could say my first traditional RPG that I played was Final Fantasy III.
See, I couldn't. I could never get into Final Fantasy.
It
was the turn-based. It was so slow. It drove me nuts.
That was my first turn-based. Secret of Mana is still one of the best.
Oh, God, yeah. Well.
I spent my whole summer playing Secret of Mana. Flammy, the three characters. There's a podcast called Retro Force Go that you could look up. And they did a whole show about Secret of Mana, and I just listened to it, and I even wrote a blog about it. It was just like, I felt so connected with the characters of Secret of Mana, and still to this day, I love the music. Still, when I read about the Super Nintendo that Sony did their sound chip, Secret of Mana was supposed to be one of their Super Nintendo CD games.
There was I can't think of what it was called. It was for PlayStation 2. It was a 4-disc game where it was kind of like, it was basically like Final Fantasy or Chrono Cross ish. It seemed a lot like Chrono Cross 2, but you got like dragon armor, and I hated the game, but played it from beginning to end. I can't think of what it was called.
It was with this Sony developed it, because it had to be PlayStation 1. But it was
4-disc. It took me like a couple months to get through.
It can't be Final Fantasy.
No, it wasn't Final Fantasy. The play style was just like Final Fantasy.
Because Beyond the Beyond was 1-disc. Wild Arms was 1-disc. Dark Cloud came out for PlayStation 2. Oh my goodness, 4-disc.
Yeah, no, it was the game took forever. It was ridiculous.
Ark the Lad didn't come out until PlayStation 2 with a 3-pack. That was supposed to come out to PS1, but it never came out here. I really don't know. That was 4-disc. So, listeners, if you if you happen to find out what it is, you can email me at myop2comment@yahoo.com. We'll talk about that later. But I cannot think of a four. Sony developed it. I cannot think. It's not a Lundra because that was working designs. Phantasy Star only ended up with Phantasy Star 4 on Genesis, so that's not it. I really don't know. I really do not know.
Dragon Warrior 7.
Oh, Dragon Quest.
Yes.
Dragon Quest
7. Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Can I tell you, I've never seen that here in America. Well, a lot of people played it.
I had a copy of it.
I've never, as many stores that I've been to, it never came here. Dragon Quest 8 is the only Dragon Quest that I actually beat. I have 9. 10 didn't come over here. I got 4 and 5, like the DS ones. Mm. But Dragon Quest 8 is the only Dragon Warrior / Quest game that I have beat here in America.
Yeah, no, I wasted a lot of my life on that. And not because it was, like, that incredibly hard. The game was just that long.
Now, compared to Persona 3 Fest for PlayStation 2, that took me a month and a half. I think Dragon Quest probably took me a month. Persona took me 5 weeks to beat.
That's not bad.
Persona 1...
You probably didn't do all the side stuff, though, right?
No, that was the main quest.
Main quest? Yeah.
Main quest. It was the grinding that I had to do. Dragon Quest 8 took me a while because of the grinding. It took forever to level up, to get money. And I think for me to even get to almost like 5 levels, it took me 2.5 days. Playing 6 to 7 hours per day to get up. It took me a long time. And I could be fighting like the strongest enemy and stuff. Like, so just to get the money to buy my armor took me forever.
Well, no. Any RPG, like, when you want the good armor, the money's going to cost you. I mean, like, any armor is going to just... It's going to take $1 billion. It take you forever to get it. Because you're like, oh, I killed an enemy. I got 5 gold. Neat. I need 20,000 more.
And the thing about that, and this is something that's coming in the future that I don't want to ruin, but it's leading up to... next week that I have a project. I call it Project G for right now. I'm doing a project that I'm going to be putting on my IGN blog.
Are you finding the clitoris?
Huh?
Are you finding the clitoris?
No, not that. It's video game related.
It's not a secret.
It's
a secret to everyone.
Because the G is coded for something. I don't want to reveal what it is until next week. Because it's 5 days of blogs and then it's a podcast. But Project G is like the code name for it. It's not finding the clitoris.
Just asking, right? I mean, that's a worthy cause.
that's a different kind of video game. I don't know who's
making it. I think we were just talking about one of those, weren't we?
I plead the fifth to that.
About the bubble pop one with like the girls. Oh, and the yeah,
yeah. I'm talking about our other discussion that we had, our unrecorded discussion. but getting back on track, let's start off with Fallout 1. Give us a background, some history about that.
All right, so it takes place. My years are probably gonna be a little off because they'll take place within a few years, a couple hundred years of each other. They'll take place, in the late 2000s, like 2077, 2244, same such type of numbers.
Huh.
It's after the apocalypse. The U.S. goes to war with China and basically every other country over gas and water and fresh air. And everyone just nukes each other. And there's a company called Vault-Tec, which coincided with the government, and they decided to do this awesome thing and select 100,000 people to live in different vaults. Every vault, you know, is like Vault 1, Vault 2, Vault 111, which is the newest one in Fallout 4. And it's somewhere for you and your family to go and survive the apocalypse. So then the radiation dies down, you can go outside and, like, regrow plants, build houses, and restart society. Well, Vault-Tec's a little fucked up, and they decided to do, like, really weird experiments, like One guy got a whole vault to himself and a box of puppets and lived there for a couple hundred years by himself with a box of puppets. Or like a population of 999 women and one man and vice versa. Or weird stuff where like, well, just let like a little bit of radiation get in so you all become mutants. Or this one's just full of clones named Gary. So this game starts out, all of them thus far, you come out of a vault after 50 years, 100 years, 200 years of isolation, you know, with the same little group of people, the same, you know, same breeding pool. And you have to go out to either get a water chip to replenish the water filter system in your bunker, or go out and get supplies because everyone's starving to death. No matter what it is, you pop out, it's all blurry and stuff, and you come out to this expansive world. I mean, like all the maps are always huge. It's you know, it's like Skyrim, you know, esque. It's just end of the world, so there aren't dragons. It's just like burnt down trees.
Right.
Everything's themed like if the 1950s had come true, yeah. With like the weird rounded cars and like hover robots and everything. Like it all looks like the 50s, just futuristic, like the way they pictured it in the 50s.
Yeah.
So you're running around there, and you're going through, and you're doing tons of quests. There's amazing amounts of backstory to everything, everyone, books you can read, dialogue, just interacting with characters, random crap that doesn't make any sense. Like, you'll find, like, toy cars that have no purpose at all. In the new game, 4, they have a crafting system, so you can use, like, a screw from a car, or a lens from, like, a microscope, or a swivel from a globe, and you can build yourself a scope for your rifle.
But that's the one thing that I... with Fallout 4 that I kind of had a problem with, is that if everything got nuked, wouldn't everything be destroyed that you can't find these things?
Hiroshima's still there.
But it was weird. Oh, wow.
I'm just saying.
But it was weird when I was watching the trailer. I'm just like, okay, if you're destroying all these people and these towns and stuff, how is all much of this stuff still available?
It's not in good shape. It's not like you found like a brand new Matchbox car still in the package. Like, you find like an old rusty missing a wheel, like piece of shit toy that's like covered in dust that fell on the ground because the building got knocked over and there's only one floor left and no windows. It's not like you find brand new stuff. Nothing's new.
But I would think that because of the nuke, that it would disintegrate.
Yeah, well, why are there still buildings then?
That's what I'm asking.
Okay, well, nukes don't work that way. They don't disintegrate everything. A nuclear missile, I feel like a nerd right now, blast radius is about 1 to 2 miles. That's it. Then you have a shockwave, and you have heat. So, actually, right where a nuke detonates, where they dropped the one in Hiroshima, where it landed, the trees are still standing. Right where it landed. Right. Where the nuke went off, there are still trees. 20 feet away, everything's incinerated and gone. The trees are still there. Because the explosion's farther out. Well, with the nuke, as we're talking about... So, yeah, say one hit Chicago.
Yeah.
Say it was massive, like an insanely huge atomic bomb. Hit Chicago. My apartment that we're sitting in right now would still be here. I might have shattered windows. We might be irradiated. But we could still chill out in here. I'd still have carpet and stuff.
Okay.
But that far away. I mean, like, you have to be, like, right there in the blast radius. So, in the towns, like, yeah, a nuke might have went off here, went off there, but there's still stuff around. I mean, like, yeah, it's all condemned and broken down and dilapidated because it's been 200 years and they got hit by, you know, nuclear fallout. But there's still just junk lying around. I mean, like, nothing you find is brand new and perfect and in great condition. It's all shitty and burnt up or, you know, just 200 years old because no one's making stuff. I mean, like, people didn't reopen the Pepsi factory right away. Like, hey, let's get the world back in order, make Pepsi again. Or Nuka-Cola, as the game uses. But, so yeah, I mean, like, it's plausible that there's still stuff around. I mean, like, if you were, like, at ground zero, then, but, you know, you're, like, 20 miles away. Hey, you're still going to have shit. I mean, there's still stuff there.
Okay, so then that kind of reflects what in Fallout that, you know...
Yeah, not everywhere in the entire planet was nuked all at once. It's just, like, they nuked, certain cities. Yeah.
Okay. It was so weird about just watching the trailer and stuff. It looked like that the place that they got nuked, where's that person's town or something.
Actually, as nerdy as this is, I was watching a thing on YouTube, and they were showing a map of Boston because the game takes place in Boston. And they were trying to, because they show a couple towns in the E3 demo that you're at. So they're trying to place it all on the map to try to figure out the scale of the entire game's map based off of locations.
Right.
Because people have time on their hands, apparently. And they were showing where Ground Zero was as opposed to Boston and the surrounding areas and the town that you start in. And the town that you start in is about 30 miles from Ground Zero.
Wow.
So yeah, it's survivable.
That is true. Yeah. Now, do you remember what the story of Fallout 1 is? Because I always wonder, was there a story to... is there supposed to be a story to this game?
The first one, the Overseer, which is like the governor or mayor or president of the vault that you live in, sends you out to get a new piece of equipment. And you go out and you fight super mutants and hooligans and wild animals and mutated beasts and all kinds of things. And that was your original thing. And then at the end, you end up killing the Overseer because he tells you that you've been out in the wasteland too long and that you've changed you. And he doesn't want to make everyone else want to leave because he still wants to have control over his little underground society.
Yeah.
And that's basically your first one, is just going out trying to, like, save your people. Because you get sent on a quest because you're the chosen one or whatever. And they're all basically the same thing. Like, either your vault shuts down or something breaks or you just happen to wake up. Like, Fallout New Vegas, you actually don't even start in a vault. You're just your courier. So you just run items and packages and information back and forth between towns. And you get shot in the head and just wake up randomly in the middle of nowhere. And you're like, oh, hey, we found you all dead and shit on the street. And you had this in your pocket, so... here's an entire adventure and 50 hours of your life you're going to lose now because you're going to play this game forever. Yeah, basically the story is just you just pop out in the middle of nowhere and you just make a life for yourself in the middle of nowhere. And you on quests, you know, like you meet new people, start, you know, alliances with different factions. You can start your own place. Like the new Fallout, you can actually build your own towns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even just for, I mean, like, you'd like a whole city. Like, you know, like, I mean, like not like a, like Chicago or anything, but, like, you have, like, you know, a couple businesses and your own little, you know, place to stay.
Because they showed one part that you could, like, you can make a generator. Like, a.
Yeah, yeah. Like, build, like, defenses or lights, yeah. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
And then, like, most of the time that, or part of the time you have to defend and stuff. Like, you go fishing and stuff, which I find cool. But it was always weird to me. I was just like, is this supposed to have a story?
No, it has a story, and the town defense thing, you don't have to do. The games are very open, so if you want to build a house and have, like, cool stuff and do that kind of, like, little fun thing and spend your time, like, crafting and everything, you can do that. Or you can just say, fuck it, and just play the main story. Or you can just run around and play side quests. Or you can just play through the entire map and just... murder every single person and thing that you see.
Now,
it's completely open. You can do whatever you want.
Are the Fallout games supposed to be, I don't want to say Sim City-ish, but does it feel like a simulation and an RPG mixed together?
No, it's like playing Skyrim, but instead of having, like, magic and demigods and dragons and demons, it's just like, oh, well, everything went to shit, so here's a bunch of garbage. Try to survive. And there's, I mean, there is a story to it. I mean, like, there is a main quest, there's lots of side quests, and all the games will link together. Like, if you've played through them, there's, like, a mythology, in a sense. Like, where you, like, you know, find reoccurring characters that are mutated and have been around for 300 years. Mm-hmm. Who actually knew this one guy from an old game. And I'll be like, oh yeah, I was there when he took down the master who made all the super mutants. You're like, oh, that's from, like, Fallout 3. No shit. That's awesome. I remember this stuff because I'm a nerd. And that's there. So, like, you get those little throwbacks and, like, fun stuff. And then there's also, I mean, like, weird little references. And they also use realistic areas. Like, there's Vegas. In Fallout 3, you were playing in Washington, D.C. Like, you were running around downtown Washington. Like, Capitol Building, the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Monument. Like, that was stuff that you interacted with. Like, that was there. Distances are actually kind of accurate. Three, not so much. This new one supposedly is supposed to be, like, very accurate. With, like, the Capitol building and all that kind of stuff. So, not the Capitol building. The gold roofed one in Boston.
The tower, like the Seattle Tower.
It's like some courthouse building or some shit.
Oh, okay.
It's not important.
Do you think with the Fallout series, because we haven't touched Fallout 2 yet.
2's basically like playing 1.
2's like basically playing 1.
But there are Doctor Who references in 2. Because you can find the phone booth sometimes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Have the game been modded when it was on PC? Like, people did a lot of mods for it?
Yes, and 3. Yeah, I mean, it's like any game. It's been modded. It's an older game. So, like, you know, people figure out code. You know, like, they'll change, like, the texture or something. Like, there's some mods that make, like, the graphics amazing. Or they do stupid stuff for, like, there's the, like, oh, yeah, dragon in Skyrim. Like, shit like that. Like, yeah, like, people done that kind of stuff, you know.
Do you think that people got into the Fallout series with 3? Because it was, it's been such a PC game.
It was a little known PC game, too.
Right. But the thing, it was so weird because Interplay did 1. I think Interplay did 1 and 2. And then when it went to Bethesda,
they got into a bunch of legal trouble and they sold it to Bethesda.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I think they were trying to buy it back, or they were trying to do something for the PC
an expansion. I can't remember what it was called. They were going to do an expansion, which never happened. And then they put some hints and ideas from that expansion in New Vegas. I think it was like The Divide or the one with the casino, Sarah Miadra or something like that. One of the two, like, they put some like throwbacks to what that expansion was going to be, but they never actually were able to produce the expansion for 2. And then 3, Bethesda came out, and, like, you know, they reformatted the whole game in a sense, because, I mean, you said, like, the third person up top, like Diablo view, and they went, like, with a first person shooter. I mean, third person was horrible in that game. Everything just bounced around, didn't make any sense. But,
I know a lot of people not complain, but one of the standout things in Fallout 3 was that you could freeze the game and point out to an enemy's...
They have an attack system called VATS. I'm not sure what the exact acronym is for that. Mm-hmm. But what it would do, it would pause the game, and you could pick out, like, the head's a 50% shot, and the chest, because you're close, that's 95, and the arm's, like, 20. And you could cripple an enemy, or you could just kill him with, a headshot.
Yeah.
And the new game, the VATS system, doesn't stop time. It slows it down. So, like, you're just, like, quasi-pause for a second. So, like, you can gather your wits and be like, fuck, I'm gonna shoot him in the head, or I'm gonna shoot him in the chest because I'm that close. In the old game, like, you could stop and be like 20 minutes, be like, well, that guy's too far away, I'm gonna change my gun, blah 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 blah. And it was like cheating. It was like bullet time in like the Matrix, or it's more like Max Payne now, where you can just like slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can just kind of like, okay, that's what I'm gonna do. It's dead, but the action's still going the whole time now. Which is a good thing. Like, I didn't like the old VAT system. I mean, it was good when you're in a really bad area. And you're like, well, I'm just going to shoot him in the head occasionally from a distance and think about what I'm doing. Or I got to walk the dog. And the game basically just paused for a second, so I'm going to leave. Right. Now it's like, oh, shit, I got to do this. You know, so.
But the one thing that created this discussion that we had was that with Fallout 4, and versus to get back to the other games, I have a problem with the graphics, and I understand that it is not supposed to be a graphical powerhouse, but it looks very generic to me, character model wise. And it's just like some of the graphics. I'm just like, I know this is going to be on PC, PS4, Xbox One. You're on powerful hardware, but your graphics doesn't measure up. Like,
they never have. They never have. Any of the games. If you look back at any of the games, I mean, like, right now on the TV, look at that. How amazing does that look? Looks like shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The person talking, they have, like, 3 lip movements. And they have, like, 7 voice actors. So a lot of people in that game sound exactly the same. This is Fallout 3. They all sound the same. Because they had nobody to do it. But it's the immersion that you have in the game. Like, there's so much stuff to do. There's so much backstory, like the lore that we were talking about earlier. There's all of that. So they kind of bypass on graphics just to give you more content. Because, yeah, they could make the game run amazingly smooth and be awesome, but then you also wouldn't have 80,000 things to pick up randomly off the ground. Like, oh, here's a random baseball, or a stick, or part of a collarbone, which right. is shit you can use for crafting. In the old games, you couldn't even use that for crafting. Like, that was just random crap. They add more content. They take away the graphics so it runs smoother.
I think one of the things with the graphics was just because it's such brown, and I understand it's an apocalypse kind of thing. I think, and I'm even having a problem with this with Uncharted 2, which I'll talk about next week. It's just that sometimes...
Is that your Project G?
Actually, no. Uncharted 2, Uncharted 2, I'm doing a review of Bad Game Day. So, not next week, but the week following, I'm posting a review on how bad Uncharted 2 is.
I have not played that.
And you don't really need to. I'll explain that, like, kind of during that time. The thing with Uncharted 2 is that they don't make some of where you need to go, some of the directions, they don't make none of that clear. And you really can't. There's stuff that doesn't stand out that you need to jump onto.
There's no like map marker or anything. It's just like here you go.
There you go, and pretty much. And it's just and
I can see that being annoying.
And because the graphics is good, what you need to do, they don't indicate that. They don't indicate that. Mm. And with Fallout 4, I think because there's so much brown in it, and
they give you markers. I mean, like in the bottom of the screen, there's like a. It looks like a piece of measuring tape, actually, which is your compass. And, you know, it's got north, south, east, west, and it just goes back and forth in between it. Like, you can't see... Oh, see on the bottom left right there on the screen?
Yes.
It's like that, but in the middle. And there, like, it shows you, like, your enemies and stuff. The newer one in Fallout 4, they actually have, like, building markers. They have the elevation of an enemy.
Uh-huh.
So, like, oh, that bug is ahead, like, above you, or that guy is below you, or that's the White House that you're looking for. Like, they actually have, like, indicators on there. And there, if you have a mission, so like there's that little arrow flashing.
It's yes.
Like, that's where you need to go, so you need to follow that. And right. You can put side missions to come up as, like, a clear arrow, or it's just an outline of one. So, like, yeah, there's a ton of crap, but, like, they do show you where you need to go. Sometimes it does get confusing just because you're in a crazy place that looks the same, like this place here.
Yeah.
It's all just hallways that look basically the same. Like, this is actually one of the vaults, like, where you grow up in. And all just looks the same. So those you can get lost in because you can't tell what floor you're on. They fixed that in 4.
Okay.
So, like, you can tell, like, oh, I need to be up another floor. I'm not just, like, it says I'm here, but it's actually, like, 3 floors above you because you're just in the same spot, in a sense. They fixed that.
And that was kind of the thing even with Borderlands.
I hated the radar system in Borderlands.
The map was so confused. Like, because everything is one layer on the map, it doesn't tell you when you're in an actual game where the item is. So you kind of got to go up
and
to
some
the
places
bottom.
Have, like, yeah, like staircases and shit, and you couldn't figure out where you're going. Like,
where to go?
I'm
and
here!
It was just like,
I'm here! Like, what do I touch?
And I hope that's not a problem with Fallout 4. Because I was talking to one of my friends, Johnny in Florida. I was talking to him, and I was just like, I really hope that I see in person than just seeing it video. Mm. Video, it might not look good to me, but I think if I see it in person and it runs a little bit better, because we got it to November. As long as we got it to November and some of the graphics is at least tight enough, I think once I see it in person, no Twitch stream or anything like that, it's something about it that I got to see in person to be like, okay, now it looks better than what the video showcased.
I mean, like, the graphics aren't amazing. I mean, like you can see, this, like, one of the last games, like, they're not great. They never have been.
Uh-huh.
But I did pick up on an, I think it was the Microsoft reveal that they had. They had one at E3, and they had one for Microsoft.
Yeah.
But they have, which I've never had in any of the games, a guy throws a grenade, and actually, like, panels off of a wall come down. Like, environmental destruction. Which they've never had in any of the games. So, like, you know, from a graphic standpoint, that's a plus. You know, they didn't have that before. And then before, like, you'd shoot somebody with a gun, just, you know, shotgun or whatever, and they'd just be like, oh, I'm dead. They'd either explode or just fall down. But there's one scene where there's a guy shooting, like, a zombie or something, and she ragdolls. Like, you can see her getting hit by bullets, and she acts like the entire body reacts to how she's getting hit.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, bullet, meh, dead. Like, it's like, oh, I'm getting shot in the hip or in the shoulder. Okay. Or there's one where, like, there's a guy running off the baseball bat. There's one where, like, the guy hits a guy with the bat, and normally you just hit the person and they're like, oh, I lost this much health and they fall down dead. There it's like, oh, he got hit in the cheek, and you can see, like, his face gets hit and his body reacts to the way it was hit, as opposed to just, like, impact. Just
okay.
In general. So, like, yeah, like, it not, you know, might not be, like, you know, amazing, like, you know, come in your pants, like, realistic graphics, but they put a lot of attention into the little stuff, like, where a bullet hits, you know, your enemy and how that body reacts.
Yeah.
Or now they have, you know, bullet holes actually show up on walls. Or you can shoot through light timber.
Like, they worked on the detail.
Yeah. Where just, it's all in a new age engine, you know, graphics engine. But it's basically the same games, they just, like, they made it a lot better.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, the graphics aren't, you know, like I said, make a mess in your pants, but they made all the little crap that you were missing before. They put all that extra stuff in.
And because I'm not a PC player, and I kind of don't plan on going to Fallout 1 and Fallout 2.
Oh,
I don't know if I should pick up Fallout 3 and give it a try. Later on in the year, I am getting the Xbox One, but I kind of don't plan on getting Fallout 4. And I'm gonna say this.
If I was gonna play Fallout, I would say 3 out of any of them, even New Vegas, which is newer and they upgraded on something like that. I would go with 3 first.
I actually had New Vegas for PlayStation 3. I think I gave it 10 minutes and gave up because I got literally bored.
Well, no, they start out slow because you have to. It's like playing like any of the Elder Scrolls games. You have to basically start your life.
And I even have Skyrim, and I kind of,
I waste a lot of time on Skyrim. I used to, manage a liquor store out in Grays Lake.
Uh-huh.
And we were dead all the time, because I worked days. And besides, like, the 8 in the morning vodka drinker, you didn't have any customers until, like, 6 or 7 at night. So I used to bring my Xbox, and I would just play Skyrim all day on the security cameras.
Wow.
I had nothing to do. So I put a lot of time in that.
And I do want to give Skyrim more of a shot, and I should.
If you can do Final Fantasy VII, then yeah, you can play a Skyrim. You can play this.
But
just give it a little bit. It sucks at first, but now with like the voice acting, as opposed to like I have to read, you know, 10 paragraphs of dialogue to figure out the fuck I'm doing. Now, like, you can just, oh, well, I'm gonna grab a beer and listen to this guy talk for a minute. Because I can just hear what's going on, and I don't have to read and pay attention and use my brain.
And I might just do that. I might just get a copy of Fallout 3 and give it a try. That's how I kind of was with the Mass Effect series. Like,
I liked 1 and 2, couldn't get into 3.
3 was good. 2 was the best, I would agree. And the story behind that was that I never hated BioWare, I just hated the design of their games. Because it felt like the design of the games was always the same. That Star Wars game that they did is garbage.
Old Republic?
Yes. Garbage beyond garbage. Because there's no direction.
I liked the second one.
I think it's the first one.
Old Republic 2? I liked that one.
The second one I didn't play. I had the first one because I had it on the regular Xbox.
Yeah.
I hated it because they gave you no direction after the intro. Like, they didn't tell you nothing. And I own Jade Empire. Jade Empire is better to me in that sense. But it was just like, because you make all these choose your own adventure decisions in the games. It just never clicked with me, and I was just like, I just can't do a BioWare game. But
well,
I mean,
the Fallout series is the same way, though. I mean, like, you can play the game however you want. I mean, like, you don't have to have a certain moral compass. You can do whatever you want. I mean, like, you can talk to a person, or you can just say, oh, I like your hat, and shoot them in the head, and take their hat, and never play their storyline. And it can be, like, a main character. and like you could just ruin the game for yourself. But, you and know, you'd have no idea.
To me, it feels like these are new RPGs that are not my typical RPGs that I get into.
No, because you want someone to hold your hand. This gives you more of the option of, I don't have to just play the game. I don't have to get to level 7 to fight this next boss. Like
yes.
I'm gonna go like find a cool gun, or like I'm gonna go shoot up a bunch of geckos so I can make some new leather, or just do something stupid. You can do whatever you want. I mean, like, you can even get drunk in these games if you want to, like, just like out of boredom, like, oh, I'm just gonna get my character drunk and stumble through town. And like there's different skills, like right here, like they're showing perks, like how you can, you know, be better at lockpicking or good with melee weapons. But you also have skills like intelligence or agility, strength, you know, perception. If you put your intelligence at like 0, when you have dialogue with characters, instead of having normal dialogue, you'll be like, bananas are yum. Like, you're an idiot. And you will play the game as an idiot. And all the dialogue is different with everyone. Uh-huh. Like, the conversation is completely different. All your, like, different options they're all different because of what you chose. It's little things like, by 1 point, like, instead of my intelligence being 1, I put it to 2. No, I don't talk like a caveman. Like, I'm an idiot, but I'm not a caveman. You know, you could have intelligence of 10 and be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. It's like Albert Einstein. You can, like, fix a nuclear reactor with, like, a Band-Aid because you're bored. Right. And, like, it's all, like, on how you craft your character and then what you do in your character's life with all the choices that you made. So, basically, like I said, like you have to start life and you have to go from there. So, yeah, at first it's slow and it's stupid and it doesn't seem to go anywhere. But after a while, you start to get, like, a rapport with your character.
Right.
Because, you know, you work on these skills. Like, you're better at stealing stuff, or you can smooth-talk women, or if you pick a certain skill, you can smooth-talk guys and, like, get in their pants and get, like, a key to a room.
So, kind of almost like Fable.
As cartoony and cheesy as Fable. Because Fable was fun. I played up till 3.
I got to the last boss on Fable, and it glitched on me where I could not hit the last boss. And I did a lot in Fable. I'm like,
all those stupid talking face wall things. I can't think of what they're called. But you always had to do like, something like stupid, like, do a chicken dance, and have 20 coins, and have, like, black hair and, like, a purple shoe on. And now this door will open and give you some shitty sword you were super excited about, but actually isn't any better than what you already had. Do you want to talk about those stupid face things?
Yeah.
I can't think what they were called.
I can't think. It's been so long since I played Fable. Which is now going to kind of get into the conversation of custom creating your character. And it seems, what we just seen in the Fallout 3 video, that you was explaining, there's a lot to it. And I'm not used to custom making my characters like that. Probably because I have to play more of the game and get further on. Because
get bored after 10 minutes, then you lost all of that immersion. Like, this is like, oh, okay, it's a first person kind of RPG thing. Bleh. Like, depending on like how you play your character, not even just like what you choose in the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
But you know, like how much you crouch around and hide behind people, or pickpocket people, you get better at your stealth. So you start, like, being not noticed, and that gives you different conversation options.
Yes.
So you can talk to people different. That changes quest lines. I mean, like, how you play your character completely changes everything. So, like, you gotta, you know, suck up that first 20 minutes of boredom.
Yes.
And then start getting into it and start getting a feel for your character. And, like, you know, like, oh, well, I'm better at hit people with a golf club than I am using a gun, so I'm gonna go with melee weapons, so I'm gonna work on my melee skills and my strength, and like, you know, you can go whatever direction you want.
Well, definitely with if it's gonna come to guns, I definitely wanna work on I definitely wanna work on my sniper rifle skills,
because that you can do,
and because my thing is that if the sniper rifle plays well. Because I hate this in Medal of Honor Warfighter, and I kind of hate it in a lot of first-person shooters, that you lock on with your sniper rifle, and you can shoot them, and they just like they won't die. You'd be like, come on, I just hit you in the head. Are you stumbling? So I wonder if in Fallout,
In Fallout, they have like the VAT system. So when you lock onto somebody, that shows you the percentage of where you're going to hit them. And in the new game, they show you, like in Fallout 4, they show you the character's armor rating, health, and their level. So if you're level 2 shooting like a level 50 guy, yeah, even though you shot him in the face with a sniper rifle, he's level 50, so like he's got like a high armor rating, and you know, you're just dumb, you didn't do anything. But they show you in the vest, like they'll show you the percentage. I mean, like, if you want to shoot a guy in the arm to cripple his arm, because like, you can shoot a guy in the arm and make him drop his gun. So then he can't shoot you because he doesn't have a fucking gun anymore.
Oh,
he crippled his arm. But then it'll show you, like, you got 20% chance of hitting that. But if you want to hit him in the torso, do a little less damage, but, you know.
You have a higher chance of hitting.
You know, 80% there. Or if you're real close, like, headshot, critical shot, 99%. You're like,
so
this
guy's risk,
head's exploding as soon as they pull the trigger.
The risk reward is there.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is it depending on what your skill is? Because I wonder,
it has to do with your skill, and it has to do with the enemy's skill, because the enemies have skills, you know, like
right.
There's certain levels, their, you know, their armor ability, that kind of stuff, like what they're wearing, you know, like if you had a dude just wearing a t-shirt and jeans, yeah, you could probably shoot him with one or two shots,
right.
But then you have a guy covered in giant metal armor, you know, like power armor where it's like it's radioactively charged and he's got jetpacks and shit. Yeah, little bullets not gonna do much. Like, you're gonna have to dig into this guy and kill him.
Well, it's the
but you know that getting into it. That's with the vet system. Like,
right.
You find like, oh, this guy's impossible to kill. I'm just going to run away because I'm a pussy. And I have, like, no health with me. And, like, you know, that kind of stuff like that. Or all my armor is broken and I have, like, 20 bullets.
But that's what I'm kind of hoping. I'm hoping that that when I do play it, and I'm a story-driven person in role-playing games. I look forward to the story. I look forward to where there's going to be a purpose that I'm doing stuff, and hopefully that it will lead me into going to side quests and everything like that. And if I could get at least into the story with Fallout, with Fallout 3, and hopefully Fallout 4 has some story, I'll be able to stick with
it. They all have story. They all link together, but it's not going to be so handheld like playing Final Fantasy, like where it's like, you specifically go here, and you have nothing else to do besides, like, oh, get a chocobo for this guy or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's like, you do whatever the fuck you want. So, like, if you don't want to play the main story, you just want to run around and just dick with stuff, you can do that. And it's not going to affect the game. It's not going to be a bad thing. It's not going to be like, oh, I just wasted 20 hours for no reason. You'd be like,
and that's the thing with me. It's just that I have not played a game where there's no direction.
They give you a direction. Like, you have a main quest. You have quests that you can choose to do. Like, if you look on the radar, like, you see that little arrow that points, like, he needs to go that way. He needs to go off to his left, which is, like, southwest or whatever, southeast. He needs to go that way to what he actually has to do. But he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. Like, here he's just, like, just dicking with garbage cans and stuff. Because, whatever, he's bored, doesn't matter. Or you can just walk off to some blank spot on your map and be like, I want to find out what's out here. Some random town, a crazy vault, a bunch of crazy enemies, or maybe I can get some cool weapons, just, and I don't know how hard it's going to be, I'm just going to go. You just have this giant map, and you can just go wherever you want. And just do what you want. And there's tons of companions and stuff, too. Like, you can make friends with people, they have their own side quests, they have their own, like, in-depth storylines, like, you can get in conversations with people. Or sometimes, you'll have a companion with you, and you just happen to walk in the right town, and you'd be like, my wife died here, or something random like that. And then there's a whole other, like, side mission where, like, you're like, well, there's some clues here. We can figure out who killed your wife. Blah, 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 blah. And then you go and do that. And you're off the main mission. Like, you're not playing the main mission for, like, 10 hours. You're doing all the kinds of, like, random side stuff just because it happened to just pop up. Oh, they have a perk called Wild Wasteland in Fallout New Vegas, which just makes crazy stuff happen. Sometimes you'll be walking around and it's like, oh, there's an alien spaceship. DLC and a whole side mission that, like, took me 10 hours to play. That kind of crap. And, like, it's not scripted. I mean, well, it's scripted in a sense, but not, like...
Yeah.
Like, but it wasn't part of the main mission. Like, yeah, it just happened. Or, like, you might find, like you just walk past a sign that's, like, Cottonwood or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that might... Yeah, that doesn't mean shit. But then you might see that later on, like, in a book or someone's journal or scrawled in blood on a wall. And you can yourself start looking into the Cottonwood thing, and it might start popping up in dialogue, and you're talking to, like, random people and random towns, like, right there. This is a random encounter. That's a trader. He runs a caravan. He might have cool stuff for you to buy. And then he might say you something like, there you go, the Crazy Wolf Traveling Junk Store, blah, 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 blah. And might tell you about some random thing that you read days ago when you were playing. And you're like, oh, wait, that name sounded familiar. Engage in the dialogue. Oh, there's a whole nother like side quest for me to do. And like more backstory that has to do with like Fallout 2 or something. And like, I mean, it just goes. So like, I mean, if you're dorky enough and play through it all, like you'll start remembering stories or names events that happen. Like they'll talk about like wars or things that you did in previous games.
It kind of feels, with the story part like that, it feels a little Metroid Prime-ish. And in Metroid Prime, you can scan areas to get the story.
Yeah, no, but well, Metroid Prime's a bad example.
I mean, to get the story, just because you could go in, like you don't really have to pay attention to the story and get the details.
You have to use brain power.
Well, I mean, because you could get the story out of dialogue here.
They give you a lot of dialogue options. Yeah. So like the guy might be like, "Oh, I got guns for sale," and you're like, "Oh, cool, whatever. I bought some ammo and some stim packs, which like you know like health," and just walk off. And not notice that, like, his third option down was, like, do you remember Chuck? Like, oh, Chuck who? Well, Scruffy Chuck from over in Sandtown or whatever. Like, those are all made-up names and towns and places. But, like, that kind of a thing. And it's like, oh, shit. And you can go the whole thing. But if you just, you know, just skip through real quick and just, like, buy your ammo and leave, you're going to miss out on that and not notice it. Like, this town here. You go here, it's, like, the first time you find in Fallout 3. And it's just stupid, and there's, like, a couple little quests. But there's actually, like, a giant quest where you can actually detonate the nuclear bomb that's in the middle of this town and completely eradicate it from the entire game. Where, like, none of these people exist. Everyone's dead. It's all gone. Everything you owned, everything, poof, gone. Just because it's a random side quest. And you can do that. And then by doing that, you get a nice, fancy room in a giant hotel that survived the apocalypse. Weird shit like that. You can make, like, moral decisions.
Okay, now let's get into that word decision, because as we talked about earlier. Do you think that the Fallout games is good to have a moral system, or do you think where, like, with Mass Effect, it fits, and this game doesn't?
No, it's basically like in Mass Effect. If you're this cynical, crazy, murdering, marauder guy, people treat you differently. You get different dialogue options. People aren't as caring or forthcoming because they're afraid of you because, oh, you nuked a town and you raped children. Here, buy something and leave. But then if you're like a nice person, you're like, oh, I heard about what you did in Good Springs. You got them fresh water and like help, you know, get rid of the bandits and stuff like that.
Which is weird.
I'll
like,
give you a discount on this.
Like,
you know?
How did where like that travel fast? That's weird.
Well, in Fallout 4, you're a courier. Or not 4, New Vegas. You're a courier. Like, you're a mailman. You carry around packages and information. So there you go.
But would you think that they were, with the technology that they have, they would make it like a computer and be able to still do email and program and stuff like
this, like, satellites don't really work anymore, and power lines roll down. There isn't a lot of, like, connectivity.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, like, they have electricity for, you know, certain computers, or some buildings still have their own generators. But it's hundreds of years after the apocalypse. And the people that are alive were living in vaults for, you know, 50 years, 200 years. So they don't know how to, like, you know, fix a telephone because that wasn't shit you did. There aren't books around. Like, you can't just, like, Google fixing a phone.
But
there isn't internet anymore.
But it would sound that way because if...
Oh, I mean, look at this town. It's made of, like, scraps of aluminum, part of a jet, copper piping. I mean, like, they just... I guess I can figure out how this works.
Because it takes place, like, in the 1950s. If we go 100 years further, it'd be 2050.
No, like, I think Fallout 3 takes place in 2277. Like, that much in the future.
But they should be way advanced.
With what? There's no power. No one's communicating with each other. Everyone's, you know, like, in underground vaults that are still alive. And if you're not in, like, some hidden little vault, segregated from the rest of the world, you're some random person outside fighting off giant scorpions and being mutated by radiation.
So since you're in the 1950s,
It's not the 50s specifically, but it's 50s themed. I think it starts in like 2020 or something like that, like when like the war happens. But like it looks like the 50s.
Because it's weird that like from that time to 2270, just using it for example, that even with what they have, there has to be some kind of technological advances, and it's just like there was none.
Well, no, there are factions. There's the Enclave and the Brotherhood of Steel, which actually search the wasteland looking for technology, and they hoard it to themselves because everyone else is just savages. That's what they consider, like, you know, like, uh-huh. People are just like, oh, the savage, like, you can't have a laser pistol, drink your dirty water and eat burnt rats, you know, like, and that's the thing, and they steal it. And then you have people that like can kind of like jerry rig stuff, like we're like, oh, this kind of makes sense, or I remember my grandpa telling me this is kind of how this engine works ish so like they make do, but after so many, you know, centuries of not having Google,
right,
so you're not being taught that. There aren't those books anymore. Like, you're not going to normal school and learn to become a mechanic or, like, you know, a jet engineer or working for NASA. It's like, oh, well, this giant metal door opened and now I walk around the desert where everything's burnt and irradiated and dead, and I found this broken car, so I can kind of use metal to make a tent, maybe, to cover myself when it's raining.
But when
acid rain.
But wouldn't that leave question on how that particular item came about? Because there has to be engineers.
They're not clueless. Like, they know that there was a society and an apocalypse, and everything was fancy and futuristic. Because there's like robots and shit that still walk around that they use. I mean, there's some robots that still work. So like, they're aware of this. It's just, there aren't, you know, there isn't a Toyota factory making new cars anymore.
Right.
So, if you don't have a factory, your grandfather who worked there died 150 years ago, didn't bother passing on the information how to build a Chevy to his son, the books are all gone, and you don't got Google.
But see,
so how are you going to make a car work?
So, but that's weird, because if you're going to be able to custom make like a generator or a gun or things of that nature,
it's all jerry-rigged though. It's like you're using duct tape and part of a globe and a baby bottle and screws from a toy car that you found.
But that's
not like you went to the factory and like, I got myself a new lens and this carbonate combine bolt action lever that, you know, they just made. It's just like, hey, well, I'm gonna duct tape this, and the laser kind of points through this lens and this broken baby bottle and shoots really far that way and hurts bad guys.
But that's very
like, if you look at the guns, like the crafting system, uh-huh, there's like tape and stuff around everything. It's not like I made some super pimp gun that's gold plated and awesome. It's like there's like duct tape and string. Some of them you have to crank. Like laser guns, you have to like turn a wooden crank handle to charge it up.
So this is very, because I'm about to say, this is kind of very MacGyverish.
Yes,
if you think about it, yeah. or even A-Team if you want to go that far. But it's weird because it's just like from where the missile came from, and from where the radius that the radiation and the effects of it,
or fallout.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
you would think that you would think that somebody would still be able to remember the stuff that's been taught.
No,
because not everybody has been killed.
I was saying, like, there's like the Brotherhood of Steel and the Enclave, like they're groups that still have like government underground facilities with working computers, and they have laser guns and like robot armor and all kinds of stuff like that. Like, they still have this kind of stuff. All the people you deal with when you're running around are the people that kind of either just survived it, but it's hundreds of years. So let's say you were born and there was never a car.
Okay.
You might find rusty ones lying around, but you never drove a car. Your dad wasn't a mechanic. Your grandpa wasn't a mechanic. You just know there's these rusty metal things sitting on the sides of broken street things.
Right.
That we walk down or we take our horses down. You would, like, you might know what they are, what they're called. You might even know, like, the make and model. You don't shit about it. If you can't find a book that tells you how to fix it, what would you do? Seriously, right now, if you found a rusted car from 1940, what would you do? You would have no idea. You'd be like, oh, this is just a piece of broken shit on the road.
Right.
I might be able to use the hood as a roof part.
Just to use the part system.
Yeah. That's what everyone does. Everyone just scavenges stuff because it's been so long. And the people that still have technology have been so isolated from everyone else. Like, in the game, there's lots of tribes. Like, they're like, you know, like almost like Native Americans. There's actually one in New Vegas called the White Legs because they wear pants. They're like Indians. Like, they have like Indian tattoos and like, you know, they use like clubs and stuff. But they all have white legs because they wear jeans. Like, just stupid shit like that. Like, you know, like, yeah, they still have like normal pants. Like, they figured out how denim works, but nothing else. So, you know, they hunt bison and they wander around and eat corn and shit like that. Like, they, you know, they went back to like an earlier state of not evolution, but, you know, just society. Because they don't have it. Like they don't have someone to hold your hand. Kind of like when you want to play Final Fantasy VII and they'd be like, let me hold your hand and tell you where the next boss is.
Right.
This is like, alright, here's a bunch of shit. Go for it. And that's what they do.
And that's kind of, actually, that's kind of how Final Fantasy XII is.
Well, XII, I haven't gotten nearly that far in that series.
Yeah, but the idea of it being an MMO stylish kind of game. Mm. And even though Fallout isn't an MMO,
It could be. I'm actually surprised that they've never done that with this.
Well, it's weird that Elder Scrolls Online, they did one before Fallout did. Like, with the popular Fallout 3, you would think that to tie the time over, they would do something like that.
Yeah, and this kind of game would be really easy to do, too. Actually, with the new one, with Fallout 4, with, like, the town-building system, I could see them easily just making, like, some just ridiculous, huge, like, just barren map. Be like, here you guys go. Here's a bunch of garbage on the ground. Play. And people building their own towns, factions, you know, like, I could see guilds building up real quick. Uh-huh. You know, like, someone's like, oh, this guy's got his awesome fort, he's got some guns, blah, blah, blah. They're good at this. And just, like, going from there. I mean, I could see Fallout 4 with, like, the crafting system, especially with the building system, being an amazing MMO.
Okay.
Like, easily. And easily.
This is going to be an out-the-box question. Do you think Fallout 4 will work on Wii U with the use of the gamepad?
No.
Do you think that because of, and not graphically, but because of the customization of making weapons, of making...
I'm just going to say no because they've never done Nintendo.
Do you think if they took the time out to learn it, it would have worked?
Yeah, it would have worked. It's just, I don't think they have any contracts with Nintendo. That's why I don't.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying the idea of designing the Fallout 4 with the customization and what they were showing on E3, it would work with the gamepad because I feel like they could actually go deeper with the Wii U version, like. If you put the metal stuff on the gamepad, you can use the touchscreen to like sand it down, get it to where you need it to be at, and then put it in.
I could see that being fun if you had the time and the effort. But if you look at the building system works, like the guy who does the E3 seminar or whatever, he's like, it just works. And they show it. Like, you just, like, oh, wall. Bloop. And it just automatically pops into place. Which is nice. Because there's other games where you do, like, crafting or, you know, like, customization like that. And it's a bitch. You're trying to, like, get that little one thing to sit right there. And, like, I sneezed or my arm twitched. And I dropped it on the floor and I got to start over again. And it's a pain in the ass. This is just, like, bloop, 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 bloop. It's like playing with Legos.
Okay.
Or, like, Mega Blocks, actually. I'll go Mega Blocks because those are the big ones for, like, little handicapped kids. So, like, it's like, bruh, bruh, I'm darn neat. And yeah, you can customize it a lot, but it's really easy to do.
Do you think...
If you make it too intricate, people are going to lose interest because they're like, ah, I don't want to fucking sand this. I just want to make that there now and be done with it.
Do you think that Bethesda actually did work with Nintendo to bring this game to their system, to the Wii U? And let's say they didn't add that part. They just made it for the system. Do you think that it would benefit Bethesda, or do you think it wouldn't do nothing, like no justice? Because the only reason why I say that is that because of what they did with Skyrim for 360, even though they had exclusive deals for 360, they made it work on there where they couldn't make it work on PlayStation 3 with Skyrim. Do you think that if they worked with Nintendo?
I don't think they worked with Nintendo at all. I mean, it might have been like spitball around a room, like at what a like random meeting, but no, they've never worked with Nintendo, and I don't think they intend to, just because of like contracts or obligations or preordained deals.
Do you think?
Yes, it would be helpful. I mean, it would expand their audience. Having another platform would be great, because like right now I'm sans Xbox One, and if I had a Wii U, I'd be like, son of a bitch, I want to play Fallout, but I can't because I got a Nintendo. And that'd be awesome, because they'd be like, oh, well, they have it from Nintendo, too. Woo-hoo! And play it. No big deal. But I'm not sure how they all, like, a Wii U, PlayStation 4, Xbox, and PC, if they were to do, like, an MMO type of thing, or any kind of community-type gaming, how those would all translate together. Because, like, when I had Xbox One, I played on Xbox Live, but I can't play when you play it on PlayStation or Nintendo.
Right.
So, I mean, like, there isn't, like, that cross-platform communication, so I could see that being an issue. And then just because, you know, they've always just done PC, Xbox, and PlayStation. PlayStation's always like, we'll give it to you eventually. Just
I think that is more with their operation system, their OS, and just the way that they design it. Because with Xbox One, of course, you could connect easier with PC. Mm-hmm. Sony have their own OS, and they would have to pay Microsoft to get that same OS. They have to pay Apple, and a lot of people don't want to do that. Nintendo have their own OS, and you know Nintendo is just going to do it from the ground up. They're not going to go out and create anything like that. It might work if with the NX, because since they're doing mobile games too, and work on smartphones, it might actually work, but I highly doubt it.
Well, see, Nintendo's always kind of cut itself off with it, you know, with it being like, we're our own powerhouse, and that's it. Like, we're Nintendo. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, there's been, like, you know, like, Soul Calibur, you know, like, you know, other random games that have, you know, been cross-platform for all three. But there's a lot of games that are just Nintendo. Or, like, you know, a lot of games like PlayStation, Xbox, that have never been even just, like, discussed for being on Nintendo. It's just like, well, it's just, we don't have a Nintendo, so I'm never playing this game. Fuck it. Bloop. So, yeah, I think that, like, Nintendo cuts off its own head. Basically, like, they're a leader, and they're awesome. Nintendo's great. I mean, I grew up in Nintendo. Like, way before, I had Nintendo way before Genesis or, you know, PlayStation, any of those systems. Like, I was hardcore Nintendo for a long time. I mean, shit, I have a gold Nintendo 64 sitting on my floor right now. Got Pokemon Stadium sitting right there. Anyway, like, Nintendo just hurts itself a lot that way, because they want to remain independent, you know, to be, like, the Nintendo franchise. Like, that's Nintendo.
Right.
And that fucks them. Like, yeah, they have, like, those titles that, like, you know, diehard gamers, like, yeah, I got the Wii U because they're coming out with a new Zelda game, so fucking I had to get the system just so I can play it, because god damn it, you know, I've played every 20 other ones, you know, like, I beat Master Quest yesterday, so yeah, that game was a bitch. Anyway, you play Master Quest? That was horrible.
No, I didn't.
It was Ocarina of Time, but everything had to be perfect. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm playing Ocarina of Time. It's like, I'm playing Ocarina of Time. But every dungeon is insanely hard. Every jump...
It was rearranged.
Maximum distance. So every jump had to be, like, specifically, like, you're half a step off of the cliff and barely make your landing on the next one. Every jump. Like, the game was so fucking hard. Do you remember the Water Temple?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Master Quest, that stuff.
You'll just
shit yourself with sadness. It's so bad.
But you know what? I would do it
Oh, no, I did
say
it.
I would do it no, just to I say it. That I did it. I got it from GameCube.
I got it from GameCube. It was $80 for GameCube. It was a two-pack. It was Ocarina of Time and Master Quest. It was $80. Brand new.
Wow.
Yeah, import.
Everybody, yes. that's what you call a true gamer right there.
So there we go, gaming history, Master Quest. Enough said.
The thing with, because this is kind of like talking about third party versus Nintendo, and that debate still goes on. I think a lot of people, a lot of people just like it's good to have a PlayStation. You know, for me personally, as a gamer, I want to own all three. And it's not because of third party for me. I think a lot of third party let me down. Where it's just like you knock Nintendo for a lot of their stuff and their decisions that they made. But if your game got to get patched again, 2014, and I talk a lot about this. 2014 holiday third party games was a disaster. Where Nintendo was knocking it out the park. Who would suspect that 490,000 copies of Hyrule Warrior would sell within a month?
I would, just because.
Yeah. And I mean, and now something like Destiny is still having problems from the day it was
released. That game is horrible. Destiny is, I've always thought it was garbage.
But it's weird that, you know, a lot of people are just like, well, our games won't sell on the Nintendo console. Okay, even if it doesn't sell, at least still put it out. You don't even have to release a physical copy. Do a digital version. And do it at a cheaper price.
Does Nintendo do a lot of, like, you know, like the DLC games, or like you just download it online?
They have digital release. You could buy the game now, and when the day hits, the rest of it was slow. It did all of that stuff before PlayStation 4 and Xbox One was doing it. So you could buy it. They'll give you the code. You'll put the code in. It'll load, and then once the game is, it won't load yet. But it knows that you bought it. So when it hits 12 o'clock or 12:01 in your time, it'll automatically download to your system, whether it's on or off, and you'll have it ready to go.
Huh.
They're the ones that did the external hard drive before PlayStation 4 and Xbox. Well, besides 360 and Xbox One. Like, when you got a Wii U, when the update later on came, you could add a 2 terabyte hard drive. To your 8 gig
but,
or your
30. But that was just the Wii U, though. That wasn't the regular Wii, right?
No, it was just the Wii U, okay. Yeah. The Wii had, like, the SD cards and the internal, but they didn't use a lot of data or anything like that. And with the third party for 2014, it was just, like, almost every game that came out that wasn't on the Nintendo platform was broken. And really, nobody really came and brought some of their games. Like, even the last Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, it, like, really no one got given any talk. Where here you are, people who are in their 30s and 40s, grown men who weren't looking to no kiddie games, is on Twitter raving about Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, a puzzle game with Toad. It got so much talk. And yet Destiny is not getting the talk or the buzz that it needed to get.
When I first got hurt in June, my girlfriend and I went to a family video, and I'm like, hey, babe, can I run a video game? Because, like, I'm just bored out of my fucking mind, not working. I'm like, oh, I heard a bunch of stuff about Destiny. All right, boom, run Destiny. I've been running it for 7 days. It's just going to keep me busy all week. Girlfriend's at work all day. I'm just going to plow through this shit. Awesome. Beat it, day and a half. Boom. And I'm like, oh, look. Online multiplayer. Okay, this is just kind of like playing the game. And it's really boring. And there's like 12 maps. Oh, cool, now I got one extra mission on the moon. Which is just like the other shit I just did. But you talk to people, they're like, oh, Destiny's amazing, you have to give it a chance. And I'm like, I did for 7 days. And after two, I was done with it.
You was done with it.
Yeah, like, I'm like, this, like, like, I'm a big Halo fanatic. Like, I'll play Halo for fucking just days straight. Don't know why. I love the mythology, the storyline. Like, I've always been fucking apeshit for Halo. I didn't play it until about a year after it came out.
Uh-huh.
I moved into an apartment with this kid named Kyle. And this other friend, Blackie, shows up. He's a white kid. But for some reason, that was his nickname. Justin gave it to him. Way back in the day. Anyway, he shows up. He's like, oh, dude, let's play Halo. I'm like, I don't know, dude. I've never played this before. He's like, he pops it in. And I'm just running around. And I think it's called Wizard. Overshield invisibility. And I just pwned this kid. And it's the first time I ever played. I mean, like, I whooped his ass. It was like 25-2 or some shit. Like, I mean, like, the score was ridiculous. I'm like, this game's great. And just started playing, just never dropped it. And that gets really repetitive. But Destiny, like, it seemed like it was just lacking a ton. Like, oh yeah, you can get new armor, kind of like Borderlands. Like, you can get like new armor, new guns. But it never really seemed to go anywhere. It's like, oh, you're leveling up, but it's like, to what?
And the DLC.
Like, oh, my purple thing's orange now. Neat.
And, like, and it feels like even the DLC is kind of lackluster.
It's the same shit. It's the same thing. It's just like, oh, well, we put one extra mission on Mars. And it's like, oh, so I'm just going to fly my little scooter thingy and go grab that and shoot at the same alien guys.
I'm going to say this. When I come over here next time, hopefully I can, I want to bring my Wii U over, and I want you to play Splatoon. I literally want you to try Splatoon. And see if you like it or not. I don't even know. Have you heard of Splatoon, or have you seen
it? No.
Okay. Splatoon is by Nintendo. It's okay. A new IP. It sold 1 million copies. You're these inklings, so you're kind of like squids almost. And the goal is for you to paint much of the area. Yes. Okay. You win the game by who's painting most of the area, and it's an online multiplayer. It has a single player, but you can play it mostly online. Okay. The more matches that you win, you get more experience points. Okay.
How does that benefit you? Like, do you splot more ink that way, or
you're able to get more? You're able to get more weapons. And the outfits that you get, you'll get to upgrade those weapons. Not upgrade your weapons. You get to buy more weapons, and you get to buy more equipment and stuff.
Okay.
And your outfit sometimes can give you extra bonuses. So you could wear, like a hat, like those headband hats.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, like, a flannel shirt, and then you can have, like, some style Jordans. Like some Nike Jordan style.
Okay.
And they each have an ability on it. And the more... the stronger that you get to unlock new equipment and new guns and stuff. And people have been playing that game. And it's getting, like, a lot of people are playing more of that than they're kind of playing Destiny. And
I can see that.
And the thing about it is with it, you use motion control, you use the gamepad if you want to hit enemies or spread around. You can still use the directional buttons, and you can turn it off and stuff. But I want you to play it to see if that's your if you'd be like, it takes about 5 or 10 minutes to get into control-wise, but the matches are only 3 minutes.
That's not bad.
You only get 2 maps, and you can't choose what maps you are. Every 4 hours, the map changes. Okay. But depending on, there's no voice chat, and depending on who you get, that's your team. You can't make no decisions and stuff.
So you can't, like, team up with someone specifically?
No. You could team up with friends and, like, rank battles and stuff like that, but you kind of got to play the online matches and stuff. And don't forget, the object of the game is not to kill your opponents. The object is to paint more of the ground. So, it would based on how much you and your team painted the area. And if you get, and depending on how much you get, if you win, you get bonus points that would level you up quicker.
Yeah.
If you don't win, you only get the points that you acquire from painting the town. So, let's say you got 200 points and you won.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll get an extra 300 points. So now you got 500 points, which will give you more experience and more money, so you could go back and buy more outfits. If I only pay painted like 75 points worth, only get 75 points.
Okay.
And so now you have to work with different teammates and stuff and going in. And you might think it's kiddie, but your one playthrough can expand to almost 3.5 hours. And you could just be like, but I only played about 30 minutes of this game and not realize that you played so much.
Is that addicting?
It's very addicting because this is how you refuel. Mm. You have to go into your paint and turn it to a squid. And you can slide each and every around. So if you're painting around and you run out of ink, paint, you turn it to your squid form and get in. And whatever paint that your team has made, you can slide in too fast. And you'll see your paint can level up. So you're sliding around, jumping into other paint from that your teammate did, so they can kind of make pathways for you. But you would get injured or you would like get sticky and stuck if you're into somebody else's ink. So you would have to take over their ink by painting it.
So this kind of sounds like a Mario Party, like just one of their like little side games that just happened to take off.
No, but it's not.
But it sounds like one of those.
It's not.
Because Mario Party always had like those little stupid like little games like, oh, you know, like don't jump on this or dodge the ball. Uh-huh. Like, and you could play like that one thing a bunch because like, yeah, it's really fun or it's great with this group of people because we all like, you know, talk shit or.
Since we're watching YouTube, I don't know if you want to try looking at it on how it looks.
What's it called?
Splatoon.
Splatoon?
Yeah, Splatoon. Splatoon. And for right now, we're actually going to take a break. So we will be right back. So while we're taking a break, I'm just going to do a little bit talking. My guest is going to walk around. Hopefully he could check out Splatoon, and we'll talk about it. if everybody knows, in August, they're doing an update to Splatoon. So they're adding more battles and more weapons. It's going to be really cool. I cannot wait to see it. A lot of games that's coming out that people are looking forward to is Mario Maker, Xenoblade Chronicles, yes. Starts with an X. It's a game that's coming out in December and stuff like that. Right now, like I talked in the earlier episode, Game of the Year is like kind of pretty good going on. And I'm wondering when fall comes, will we have more Game of the Year announcements? I'm on the fence about Fallout 4. I think it could, like I said, I think it could be Game of the Year. I'm not guaranteed that it will be. It may. It's going to be close. But I personally think that if the content is there, it might be up. It might be in the nines. I don't think it's going to get a perfect 10 that a lot of people are hoping it is. But it will be, like I said, it will be up there. September is Mario Maker, Super Mario Maker, which is one of the big games for Nintendo where you can make your own Mario levels. And I'm planning on doing some optional opinion levels. And I really want to put it out there. So if you own a Wii U, you can add me at Optional Opinion. Everything is capital, and everything, and there's no space. So OPTIONALOPINION. You guys can add me on there on Wii U. And I kind of want to do something very stylistic differently. I kind of want to see if I can make a level that goes from right to left. People who read manga books, graphic novels, most of their stuff is right to left. And I wonder if it's going to be possible that I can make one. If I could do pipes when I go in, that you could enter in from the right, and then enter in on the left. I really want to see that. Hopefully they have some kind of reversal thing. It really might be cool to do that. But that would be coming in September. So do be out on the lookout for that. Hopefully when I get my Xbox One, I will pick up Fallout 4. If I don't get into it, believe me, I will find Jonathan again. And he will be my guy. He will be my first guide playthrough where I would just hand him the controller and he would play this game. And might just do an optional opinion, commentary talk where I'm learning about the game, getting the experience and seeing what I should look out for. Now, it's not guaranteed, nothing is set in stone because I got to get an Xbox One. But like I said in the episode, I do want to bring up my Wii U and I kind of want him to play Splatoon. I really want to see what see what he thinks about it. It might seem kiddie, but it's one of those games that it just shocked everybody. Like, it got a lot of talk about it. When the game came out, it sold a million. Hopefully, a lot of people think that they're going to do some reviews on it, because of the content update that comes out. Hopefully, you know, it does get it. If not, I'm not worried about it. Cause it, like I said, it sold a lot of copies. It did 1 million. It's been sold out in Japan. But I think now you could kind of find some copies for it. Like I said earlier in the episode, I am playing Uncharted 2. Not next week, but the week after, that Wednesday. I will be doing my review of Bad Game Day. You can find that on IGN under Anime, E-N-I-M-E. And I'll give out more information about this at the end. As you can see, we're looking at it. Oh, the Honest Trader stuff is kind of funny. We will be right back after this break.
I thought you didn't want food.
And we are back. Right now we're looking at the Splatoon trailer. We're actually doing an Honest Game trailer. And Jonathan is watching it right now. So if you do hear it, it's from the TV. So sorry if there's like dead space.
This looks like that Mario game where like you squirt water everywhere.
Super Mario, Sunshine.
Yeah, I hated that game. Honestly, like, when you describe this, I pictured it completely differently. Like, I pictured, like, a 2D, like, just on the screen, like, you just, like, one guy, and then, like, you're on the right side or something like that, and you're just, like, trying to, like, cover the screen.
Can I tell you to stay fresh? Everybody is saying that. Stay fresh.
I don't know. I don't know if I can get into that. It looks like it might be fun for like an evening, but I couldn't see like hardcore getting into it. Like
you, that's why I want to bring it over for you to play. And the thing about it is because it's only 3 minutes.
I think that's enough.
Yeah, and I mean, and the thing about it is, I'm like 3 minutes. You don't get you might not get the hang of it, but I think if you spend the time with it, you might end up liking it. It's a different kind of shooter.
Well, it's more of a splooser than a shooter.
Well, splooser.
That is what it looks like. It looks like you're just like jizzing all over the map.
It looks that way, but I think once you get into it and you kind of play it, you might respect it. It's a good attempt from Nintendo.
I'm not saying I disrespect it. I'm just saying.
but I think it's a different take on shooters. Compared to something like Destiny or Titanfall and things like that.
No, Destiny is a horrible example for a shooter. I don't even count that.
Oh, but a lot of people thought that Destiny would like be like the bomb from Bungie.
No, because everyone held it up to like the Halo Gauntlet. Like, yeah, this is gonna be the new Halo, and this is gonna be the shit, and like, it's going to have everything that Halo didn't have, and it didn't. It was just like, oh, yeah, okay, the graphics are okay. Meh. I mean, the quest line on it, like playing through that, was so boring. It was insanely repetitive. Even for a stupid first-person shooter where like basically it's just repetitive and you just do the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
That was really, really boring. And then like the last boss fight, like, I don't know if you ever played through Destiny, the last boss fight, you fight like this like statue thing, and it was so stupid and really easy, even on like the hard mode, like the legendary mode or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
it was insanely easy. Like, this is just stupid. Like, so there's more game, right? No, you're done. This is it. Now go play multiplayer. It's like, hey, but,
and I heard the ending was like a letdown. Like,
yeah, no, there really isn't an ending. They're like, oh, yeah, you saved the universe. Here's a cool gun. Now do the same thing you were just doing. This is like you beat the game, and then you basically just start the game over, in a sense. They're basically just like, here, just go play multiplayer. There's no more game. You're done. Get out of here. Oh, we made an expansion. Oh, guess what? It's the same thing again. Just, it has this map instead of that other map. But it's the same quest. Like, oh, fly here, stand here for a couple minutes, or beat on this, or kill these couple guys, or click on this thing until it loads.
And can you believe that Sony paid a year exclusive for all this DLC?
Wait, for Destiny?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they were trying to outbeat Microsoft. They pay exclusively for a whole year that they would be the first to get the DLC content. Like Xbox doesn't have it yet. They can't release it on no other systems until that year contract is up, exclusive deal. So Sony has most of the DLC that Xbox One doesn't have?
The Xbox isn't missing much. From what I've played, they're not missing much at all. Well, it's kind of like to me, it was like Borderlands to me even had more replay value than Destiny did. In Borderlands, like, yeah, it's fun, like, your first time through, running through it, you know, multiplayer, yeah, it's good for a little bit, and then it just gets really repetitive, like, really overly repetitive. Like, playing Halo, like, yeah, that was repetitive, but you were, you knew what you were getting into. Because, like Destiny and Borderlands, like, oh, like, you're always finding, like, some, like, oh, I found a purple weapon, it's like one hit point better than my last one, blah, 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 blah. So it has, like, that leveling up in your head type of thing. What I liked about Halo was just, like, yeah, I'm going to have these, like, these eight guns, and I'm just going to shoot the shit out of these people. And we're just going to play based off of skill, not like, oh, you played 10 more hours and found that one extra gun that I don't have. See, like, I don't know, like I like the finding better weapons. I like the leveling up type of scenario in a game. Like, that's great, because I mean, like, I love RPGs.
Right.
But for first-person shooters, I haven't found, like, a perfect medium where it's, like, yeah, like I'm achieving something, and I'm just, you know, beating the shit out of some 14-year-old kid who's calling me fag a whole bunch. Like, I can't find that perfect medium. That's what I liked about Halo, because it was just, like, you're just playing this game. Like, that's it. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get worse. Everyone's on the same level playing fields.
Yeah.
You go in and you're going to shoot people. Kind of like, you know, like, because Call of Duty, like, used to be like that, but then they're like, oh, well, now you can get this extra scope, or your gun can be gold now, or you can get this extra drone. It's like, those are cool perks, but now everyone has them because the game's been out for 2 years.
Right.
So now it's just like, it's basically playing Halo. It's just, I had to spend a lot of time just to be where this kid was, like, 2 months ago, because he has no life, or he's grounded, and his parents let him play video games still.
And do you think with FPS is that it's very stagnant in the DLC department? Like just the offerings. Like, we know that the maps are not going to be so exciting. They might nerf a gun or, you know, patch it. It's always going to be a zombie mode. Like, they haven't advanced. Do you find it kind of weird that they have not advanced any of the FPS's multiplayer online for their DLCs?
The only game that I thought has ever done that was Battlefield. And not so much because, you know, like, the special weapons or the downloadable content. It's the way a game will play out because of the destructibility of the map. Uh-huh. Like, first time I downloaded the demo on Xbox 360, like, a couple years, like, when the first one came out. All right, it was Battlefield 2, I think it was. Uh-huh. And I'm like, this is stupid. And then I started playing it for a couple hours, and I'm like, it's actually kind of awesome. Just because the maps are so big, and, like, as you progress through the multiplayer, like, you know, through the round, which take for fucking ever, which I did hate, because sometimes you play, like, one match for, like, an hour. Right. It's like, I have to go to work, and I don't want to quit because, like, I had so many kills. But, like, anyway, like, the farther you got through the map, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. You got better weapons, better guns, or better vehicles. But because you could destroy the map and, like, well, I mean, after a while it was repetitive. But every match was different because sometimes, you know, someone would just go straight for the flag. Or you'd have, like, five tanks roll up and decimate your entire base. And, like, there's no fucking cover now. Like, all right, just take the flag, whatever. We're just going to retreat back farther in the map now because you fucked me. And I like that because that, to me, put a big change on first-person shooters. So a lot of, like, you know, like, any game you play, like, well, except for, like, old school games where, like, there was
I love GoldenEye 64. I'm sorry, In the World Is Not Enough. I love those.
I've got that. Anyway, just if you want to get down, I've got that, like, right over there. No, what was it? God, I can't think of the name of the game.
What system?
It was Nintendo 64 and PC, but there was one where you could the name of that game?
Not Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark was awesome because that was GoldenEye, like, just, like, on crack.
I've never played Perfect Dark and I need to.
What?
I've never played
it. It's GoldenEye on crack. They even have GoldenEye maps. Like, in the multiplayer. Like,
well, Rare did do Assassin's Force, so. Yeah, I can see it.
Anyway,
now.
There was one, I can't think of the name of the game, it's driving me nuts. But there was one gun where you could, like, blow holes through the map. Not like a rail gun, not like where you just, like, shot through it. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd be like, oh, there isn't a wall here anymore, or that hill is gone. You could just decimate the map. And I think it was, like, for Nintendo 64. I can't think of what it was called. Oh, my God. I used to play a bunch. But, like, that was, like, the first game that did that, where you could, like, interact with the terrain. I mean, like, GoldenEye, like, you'd run around, you shoot a rocket launcher. You could shoot the same wooden, like, made of stick door with a rocket launcher 20 times. It's still there. Hinges are all good. Nothing ever happened to it. It's just there. And that's what I liked about Battlefield was you could screw up the map, which changed the gameplay, like, immensely. I mean, like, you wanted to go steal someone's flag. Well, I don't have to run to the base because the boat that dropped me off here used its fucking turrets and blew the wall apart. So there's just the flag right there. Bloop! Like, that was amazing. And, like, that game, like, they always updated it, but it was always better. A lot of the other games, like, oh, here's a remake of a new map. It just has a new skin on it. Or we added, like, a gravity lift or something. But they're always the same. That, like, but Battlefield always seemed like they just kept upping it. Like, oh, now this skyscraper can fall down. So you can actually blow up that entire 50-story skyscraper and just smash the other team. Because you can do that now. That's awesome.
Did Battlefield Bad Company, didn't that come up from a mod for PC or something?
Bad Company was on PC. Yeah, that was 2. Yeah, Bad Company was 2.
Did that come out of Battlefield, I wonder?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Oh, but anyway. Yeah. Because I'm just trying to think. Well, it's going on a little bit. So, at the end of the show, do you have any suggestions about Fallout? Let's end up with Fallout 4. I do want to make up by playing Fallout 3, so probably next week I'll pick up a copy.
You definitely should.
It's
cheap as hell because it's old.
Yeah. anything you're looking forward to with Fallout 4?
Exploration, definitely. Just because the maps are always so large, you can go anywhere, do anything, which is amazing. But I'm actually looking forward to the options of starting your own community. Mm-hmm. And the weapon and armor customization. Do you ever play Elder Scrolls 3 back in the day?
Was that Morrowind?
Yeah, Morrowind, yeah.
I have it for Xbox, but I didn't play it.
That game takes forever. It's really long.
Oh, yes. That, yes.
Yeah. Does. Well, for a Bethesda game, actually, I don't know if that was still Bethesda or was Bethesda at the moment. But
it was Bethesda.
Okay. Well, they had a lot of different options in it. It was a very open RPG. They had a lot of expansions, which some of them kind of sucked, especially the one where you went up north and became a werewolf. Anywho, but they had, like, layering systems where it wasn't just like, I had this outfit. Or I'm wearing the metal armor now, or I'm wearing this. It's like you got this pair of jeans on, and you're wearing a pair of slacks under that, and you got this shirt on, and shoulder pads, and this ring, and then, like, 5 bracelets, and then this cloak over all that. And they all had different perks. Like, you could make yourself completely invisible, or, like, you could fly around like fucking Superman if you enchanted stuff the right way. Fallout 4 is looking more like the Morrowind, where you can... As opposed to just finding armor, because, like, a lot of faults, you just, like, find something, like, oh, I found, like, the vault suit, or I'm wearing this. This is like, well, I'm going to build this awesome armor for what I want to do. Like, I want to be stealthy, so I've made, like, this little some stealthy armor, and then I made some other stealthy shit that I can wear on top of that, so I'm even more stealthy, and blah, 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 and just go forth from there. So I'm looking forward to see how you can layer, like, your armor and how you can adapt your weapons to your play style.
Yes.
And, you know, all the storylines still on. You know, still, I need more lore. So.
Well, like I said, I am. I do want to get an Xbox One. I do look forward to playing it. I know there's a lot of Xbox One games that, like Ori and the Blind Forest, that I kind of prefer over it. I do want to pick up The Witcher 3 and see if that's good too.
See, I haven't heard a lot of great stuff about Witcher. Dragon Age, I've heard a lot of good stuff about, but Witcher, that's like a niche market. Like,
well, because I'm so Nintendo. Like my whole, my whole fall for Nintendo is set. Like, we got our pre-sale cards at work, so I spent my $5 pre-reserving each game: Star Fox, Xenoblade Chronicles, Super Mario 3. I mean, Super Mario Maker. I have Yoshi's Island, Woolly World. I just did Yo-Kai Watch, and I did Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. Like, my whole fall for Nintendo is, like, already, like, about $300 itself.
That's crazy.
So, I'm ready to get those games, and I'm ready to dig into them. Xbox One is kind of, because I kind of prefer that over PlayStation 4 for right now. I want to play the games on Xbox One, and that's kind of hard for me to say because I'm not a big Microsoft fan. Because of their controller.
Well, Microsoft got to me after, like when it first came out. Like, I was Nintendo all the way. Like, I hated PlayStation. I had one, I had a 2, I had a 3, but I was always like Nintendo, GameCube, Nintendo 64. Fuck all this. This is awesome. And then Microsoft came out, and actually, I liked their games a lot more because. This is going to sound weirdly racist. Nintendo games are, like, too Asian for me sometimes. Uh-huh. Like I know that sounds weird,
No. Nintendo is kind of... Well, they say PlayStation 4 kind of leads Japan, but everything on their, like, on their sales skills is straight Nintendo. Like, the only story that I was talking about earlier is that Splatoon was the hardest game to find. Like, they sold out in Japan. Nothing else in Japan has sold out. And I could see that. I could see, Nintendo having more of that Japanese design.
It has that feel to it. Like, to me, a lot of Nintendo games feel like you're playing just a different version or a different skin on the same game. Uh-huh. Where it's like, oh, yeah, it's cool. You know, like, it's awesome. You know, like Nintendo has great games, but a lot of their games feel, like I said, like you're playing the same game. Just like, oh, we just changed the colors on this guy, or instead of being like a forest level, now it's a desert, but it's exactly the same.
But with Nintendo, it's we were talking about this. It creates memories.
Any game creates memories.
Well, not really.
I still remember playing Metroid back in the day, like before school. Like we were talking about earlier, it was before the cancer. Like, I mean, any game you play, I mean, like the Falls, I was talking about like all like the back, backstories. Like, I'll hear something in the game, like as I'm playing it, and be like, oh, I remember doing that, and then like also like some weird flashback, like, oh yeah, I did this like 8 years ago and dropped a cigarette on my pants and burnt my leg, but I remember the storyline because I remember reading this, and that's why I wasn't paying attention.
And I can see where Microsoft comes into play because they did change. I could give it to Microsoft for changing on the online structure, the online functionality. Microsoft was big in that.
Oh, definitely.
Good job.
I know PlayStation tried. I remember there was a Resident Evil game. I can't think of what it was called, but you played as a group of like four people. And
Outbreak,
yeah. I remember that being like one of like the first like actually online games, and nobody had fucking internet connection or online connection. So I remember playing it with Justin actually in his room way back in the day, and we couldn't find anybody to play with. So it was just like the people that were in the room playing. But like that was such a great idea, and it just the timing was horrible for it. When Microsoft hit the online gaming, they hit the right time.
Yeah,
like it was like. That's all booming. Everyone's got internet connection now. Blah, 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 blah. Here you go. And it went apeshit, and they did great. And then, to me, it feels like everyone emulated that, I should say.
Yeah.
But, I do credit. PlayStation did try that first. and they had a great game for it. They just did it like 5 years too soon. If they'd waited a couple years and came out with that game, or if they came out with that game now, I'd play it. No, because it was great. Because
I agree. Yeah,
your party members would become a zombie. Yeah. So you'd be playing with your group, sharing items. Only certain people could pick locks. Only certain people could do this. So you relied on your team, and it worked all in communication. But, you know, you're out of red herbs, green herbs, or whatever the fuck made you not a zombie in that game. You became a zombie, and then you're on the other team, and you're the rest of the world trying to kill your own teammates.
Right.
And you have a heads up because you remember where your teammates are and who doesn't have a gun and that kind of shit, which made it really interesting, but it was just they started it too soon. I mean, like seriously, a couple years later, that game would have been a hit. Huge hit. That game failed because it was just the timing was just horrible for it.
But I know with Xbox One, there's more games on that system that I want to play over PS4. Like if I got a PS4, there's nothing that I want to play on it. Maybe Bloodborne, but I'm not into like Dark Souls like some people play. Mm. So I mean, Kingdom Hearts 3. That's going to be a while. Only game that I probably would want to play on it would be Persona 5. But I would have to see the difference between the PS3 version and the PS4 version. Because the next game from Sony that I'll buy on the PS3 will be Persona 5. And then there's pretty much nothing else.
Mm.
Tomb Raider, give or take, whatever. The Master Chief Halo Collection, yeah, whatever.
Wait, they're not doing that on PlayStation.
No, I'm talking about Xbox One.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that with PlayStation 4, not even Batman Arkham Knight that I'm even caring for. It's just like
there's... Well, I mean, you can play it on Xbox One, though.
Yeah, you know, so. I mean, yeah, but it's just like there's nothing on Sony's platform that I'm looking forward to play. Not even the Final Fantasy remake. Like, I'm not even looking forward to that, you know. So I think the only thing that I'm looking for that system will be the last goodness, I cannot think of it. The one with the boy and the little dog that they kept the delaying, and I've been talking about this
boy with little dog.
She's like a hybrid, like a dog and a dragon and stuff like that, and the little boy is carrying them.
Oh, no, I don't even know that one.
The last something, and I cannot think of it. They showed it at E3, and I talked about it, I just can't think of it right now. But it's from Team Ico, who did Shadow of the Colossus and Ico.
Shadow of the Colossus was good.
I got that at home, I need to start that.
It gets annoying, and the last boss is a bitch, but...
Yeah.
Well, because you work so hard, and you might get to the last boss. You're like, you son of a bitch. Why is this so hard?
Because it's. But there's just nothing on that system that I'm looking forward to over where Xbox, their indie games. Definitely with Cuphead coming out next year. So, that's what I'm looking for.
No, there's a lot of like indie and free to play games on Xbox.
The Last Guardian, that's what it is.
The Last Guardian. Yeah, no, I don't know that one. I did see a trailer for one game. I'm not sure if it was on E3 or not. Oh yeah, no, I haven't seen that at all. Yeah. It's I can't think of what it's called. But, like, you're, like, this little chick running around the desert, and you have, like, this orb with, like, a light, and you put it into different robots.
Record. It's like you're,
yeah, that one. That one actually looks kind of cool.
Yeah, by Kenji Inafune and X-Wayfort Armature. Oh, yeah, Armature. They got together, and they're making a game. So.
No, it looks good. Like what I've seen of it, it looks good.
It looks well. I really can't say how it looks because they only show the trailer, so there's not really an idea of the
game. No. I mean, but what they show you is like, you know, like the idea of the game. How like you know you can, oh, my companion died. Bloop, I put him into another thing now. Now I have like this giant robot instead of the stupid little dog or this thing with, you know, tentacles or whatever the fuck. Like it actually seemed, you know, kind of like strategy, but like, you know, first person shootery kind of thing. Like, it seemed kind of like a, like Tomb Raider, where it's like a shooter but a puzzle solver at the same time, you know, that kind of thing.
It's very, now that's very Japanese.
Yeah, but it looks okay.
I mean, because it's Kenji Inafune, and I like his development. I like his design. That would be something. Hopefully, next year when they show it at E3, that they show it again, that they show some gameplay, and I get more, more insight on it. Because I'm thinking Lost Planet, getting the vibe of Lost Planet from it.
Yeah, they got really repetitive really quick.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that it doesn't go that route, but if the gameplay is that kind of style, you see the color orb, you shoot it, and if it breaks, you can put the blue orb in and take over. I could see something like that. That should be good.
Yeah. You dumbed it down a whole bunch. I actually made it sound lamer by describing it that way.
No. I think because
you shoot this ball, and now it's yours. Neat.
I mean, because based off the trailer, that's the idea that I'm getting. But I mean, I feel like it's going to be a really cool game. I just can't wait to see more of it next year.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, like, I mean, like, it looks good, and, like, from what they show you in, like, the trailer, like, gives you an idea kind of what you're, like, getting into. So, like, it seems cool, and, like, the idea seems cool, you know, like, where it's not, like, you have, like, this one weapon or you're stuck with this one teammate. But I can see it also getting really annoying where it's, like, oh, you gotta take the orb back and forth to unlock this puzzle because you need, like, five different robots to do it. You have to keep, all right, put it in this one, you do this now. All right, let me take it out and run it over here, and you got to do this now and push it 1 inch forward and blah, 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 blah. I can see that getting annoying.
But
you're ruining this game for me by making me think about it more.
But knowing that, Kenji Inafune and the guys who made Metroid Prime, those ex-developers, working together, it's going to be a top-quality game. So, it's East and West working together to make a great game. I believe it's going to be terrific. I really do. And that one was on a lot of people's list for games to look forward to this year. Coming years, whenever it gets finished.
Yeah, years. They happen.
I know I do want to play the Gears of War collection, even though the control screen, the control scheme on Gears is broken. I probably just got to get used to it, but that's me.
I played through 1 and 2 and part of the third one, and it just was just like, oh, I'm playing the same thing. They had the Horde mode, I think it was called.
Uh-huh.
That was actually kind of cool, like, for multiplayer, where it's just, like, billions of enemies, and you guys have, like, work together.
Yeah.
But every map had, like, just, like, you could find, like, one sweet spot, and we're just like, oh, we're just going to sit right here because this spawns here. And there's only one way in, so we can just sit with our chainsaws and just snipe the shit out of everything and chainsaw it off. So.
Yeah.
I kind of lost Gears of War a while ago.
Gears of War. God of War.
I didn't like God of War.
One was good, two was whatever, three is whatever. I think after one and I started playing two and three, I'm just like, okay. This is all right, but it's just it's the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very repetitive. So, but that is it. But thank you, Jonathan, for coming on the show. Thank you for
thank you for having me.
Thank you for letting me talk to you about Fallout. You got me interested in playing the game Fallout 3.
You should play it; it's amazing.
And I want to. And hopefully, when Fallout 4 comes out, I will have my Xbox One, and I will pick it up and join the community that's playing it. If you don't have your Xbox One, like I said, I'm bringing it over, and you will be my guy. I will, and I'm going to say this first: I will let you play Fallout 4 before I even touch the controller.
No. Teamwork makes the dream work, man.
Usually with some games, I don't even take them out until like maybe a month or after. Unless it's a Nintendo game or it's like it's a 3DS game.
Oh, I'm that nerd guy there at like midnight. Like, oh, it just came out. Gimme. I pre-ordered it.
I
get on my way, 12-year-old.
I should be like, oh, no one's going to come in and buy this game. And then I go in and no one bought it and I'd be like the first person to buy it. But that's just me. But yeah, do you guys actually, where can people find you or anything?
In my apartment, usually.
Can they find you on Facebook or Twitter or anything?
Yeah, I'm me on Facebook. And not on Twitter because I'm old and lame. I have an email address somewhere. I can give it to you, but I never check it, so it'd be kind of fruitless. But you can hit me up on Facebook. You can share my pictures or genitals or however that works on Facebook.
Oh, wow, I can't do your genitals.
Hey, I had a picture of my balls on there for 2 years. It was next to a set of ribs that I made for dinner.
I can't.
And nobody noticed.
I can't.
I'm sorry, God. Anywho.
So you guys can find me on Twitter at That Retro Code. You can friend me on Facebook under Edward Varnell. You can hit me up on the email about this show. Let me know what you guys think about Fallout or any opinions or options that you got for the show. You can email me at myop2comment@yahoo.com. That's myop2comment@yahoo.com. You can friend me on my Wii U under Optional Opinion. That's all one word. Because I do want to play more Splatoon with people. You can find me on IGN under Anime, E-N-I-M-E, and read my Optional Opinion blogs. Look out for Project G. It's not about the clitoris. Let's make that clear.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Like I said, in 2 more weeks, I will be posting my review of Bad Game Day, which will be Uncharted 2, where hopefully I have another guest on, and we'll talk about the good and bad about that game, because I have a long list. But thank you guys for listening to the show. Have a great weekend. Enjoy family. Enjoy friends. Thank you once again, Jonathan, for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Hopefully we can do this in the future and talk about whatever you want to talk about. I kind of want to have that conversation that we had earlier.
No, that would have been a great cast.
And I might actually do an optional opinion about religion in games.
In gangs or games?
In games.
Okay. I thought you said in gangs at first.
And that's just my phone ringing. So you guys are getting a special bonus ringtone edition of Optional Opinion. It's a phone number that I don't notice. I'm too lazy to do anything. I'm not going to edit that out. But yeah, once again, thank you guys for everybody. Like I said, let me know my op 2 at myop2comment@yahoo.com. Like I said, let me know what you guys want to hear. And that is all for me. Any last words, Jonathan, that you want to say?
Everybody have a good time and drive safe.
I'm going to say this, and Jonathan, you might not do it. If you have a chance to put some of your artwork and some of your masterpieces on your Facebook page, I would.
I got some food porn on there. That counts. Cook too.
If you got some food porn on there and you got good,
it's
things,
on there.
Jonathan Egbert, E G G E R T. Find him on Facebook and give him a friend. Please don't be a dick. Don't be a hateful person. Don't be a spiteful person. Because he's an awesome guy. Great artist.
Only on Tuesdays.
He's a great artist, and I do want you, I advise you guys to check out his work. If you like his artwork, see if you can get in contact with him and give him some work.
I'm always looking for nude models. just FYI.
I'm going to need that portion alone. But once again, thank you, Jonathan. Thank
for
you guys
Project
for this.
G.
Thank you guys. For listening to Optional Opinion, and I'm out. We're out.
Yeah, we're both are. Laters.
Peace.